This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Anne Hines is a passionate cyclist and volunteer with Radbikes. She spoke recently at the Canterbury Workers' Education Association about what's happening with biking in Christchurch.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you for coming along. I know everyone here except one person. Welcome. Thanks for coming. As Lottie said, my name's Anna. I'm here because biking has made a hugely positive influence on my life, and it's something that I just love sharing with others. And I'm involved in a couple of the kind of volunteer groups around Christchurch. I also happen to work for council, but I'm not speaking on behalf of council here. I'm just here as a local cycle nut. I do also have a background in transport, and I've got a master's in geography, and that was mainly around transport, urban geography, health, well-being kind of stuff, and that all ties in very nicely with my passion for cycling as well. Who here biked as a child? Everyone. Does everyone still bike as an adult? Okay, this is a cycling crowd. So I think if I ask that question in a lot of audiences, you know, maybe 20% of people would say, yep, I still ride as an adult. But I look back at biking as a kid, and it was the way I got around my neighbourhood. It was how I met people on the street. It was, you know, one of the key activities that we did was just kind of race up and down Moreland Ave in Brindwick, because it was a nice quiet street. You know, we'd occasionally come a cropper and hit a pothole and go flying, and you'd kind of have a big cry and get back on the bike 10 minutes later. And yet so many of us lose that when we're adults and kind of stop biking for whatever reason and don't get the opportunity to get back on. I stopped biking probably when I was maybe 11 and didn't get back on a bike until I was in my early 20s, and that was in Holland on holiday. And me and my boyfriend at the time got on a couple of bikes, and I was pretty wobbly, you know, hadn't been on a bike for a few years, and he just laughed and laughed, and I was so humiliated. I didn't get on a bike for another 3 years after that. I just wanted to get off as soon as I could, and it was, yeah, just a really shaming experience. And then 3 years later, I'd moved to Wellington, and I'd upgraded boyfriends to a guy who biked everywhere in Wellington, and he said, hey, let's go for a ride around the coast. You know, the Wellington coast, there's some beautiful roads you can ride. And I said, not doing it. And so he gave me a bit of time, and I told him the story, and he said, okay, you can do this, you know, we'll take the quiet streets. We can stop anytime you get scared. We can go on the footpath if you want. It's actually illegal. We didn't do that, but he just made it really accessible for me to get back on the bike, and within a few weeks I was riding to work. Big Red, who's in the room with me now, I figured out, I got her 10 years ago. She's probably 15 years old at the time, so now she's a real old beast. And I did a quick calculation, I reckon she's taken me 20,000 kilometres in the last 10 years, so she's a good workhorse.
Good girl.
Yeah, and so I guess I've never really looked back. I've biked almost every day since that time that Andre made it accessible for me to get on my bike, and it's a really key part of my well-being. It's one of the best parts of my day. It is total freedom. It's quite fun cruising past the traffic in the morning. You never get stuck in it. You never have to look for a park. And there's this really nice sense of camaraderie with other cyclists. You kind of get to the intersection and give a wee smile and a nod to the other people around. Just passionate about sharing that with other people, and just stoked whenever I see someone new getting on a bike. I moved back down to Christchurch in 2012, and a few months later the major cycle routes were announced by council. So this is a network of 13 cycle routes we're building across the city. And one of the key drivers for this cycle network was the Share an Idea project, which was one of the most successful public consultations of all time. It basically asked people in Christchurch, what do you want to see in an earthquake, in a rebuilt city? And people submitted their ideas through post-its in some location in the CBD. I think they got about 100,000 submissions, and making Christchurch a cycle-friendly city was one of the key themes that came through. Also, there had been years of advocacy in Christchurch for making safer cycling before the quakes as well, so don't want to skip that workout. Yeah, an idea whose time had come. And I get to talk to people a lot from other parts of New Zealand, and those who have come, lots of people who have come to Christchurch just say, wow, your cycleways, like, I wish we could get them in Hamilton or, you know, wherever they're from. And Christchurch is really leading the way in this area. There is more cycling investment starting under the last government, continuing under this government in cycling. So I think it is an idea whose time has come across New Zealand, but Christchurch is really leading the way in that. One of the bits of research that the major cycle routes are based on is research that's looked at entire populations and their attitudes to cycling and their habits around cycling, where generally you get about a third of the population not able to cycle or just not interested, never going to get on a bike. You know, you kind of just leave them and they can do whatever they like, but we're not going to force them onto a bicycle. Then at the other end of the spectrum, you've generally got about 2% of cyclists who are strong and fearless. They will ride down 100k roads in the middle of the country. They will ride down Morehouse Ave at peak hour. You know, they are going to ride no matter what, but they're in the very small minority. Then you've got the enthused and confident. They're maybe 10% of the population. I would put myself in that category. I'm confident, I'm okay riding in most kinds of traffic, and I don't need a lot of infrastructure to make me feel okay. I've done a lot of workshops and training, skills workshops and things to give me the skills to feel fairly safe in traffic and around large vehicles. But there is always this enormous group of 50 to 60% of the population who are interested in cycling. They want to give it a go. They'd like to be able to pop down to the shops or take their kids to kindy, but they're a bit scared. They don't want to cycle next to traffic and heavy traffic, and they need a bit of separation from traffic to get back on the bike. And in that group, disproportionately represented are women and also children. So that's the key target group of the major cycle routes. Not this guy who's, I guess, when people say the word cyclist, this guy often comes to mind, the super fit road racer. And it's worth bearing in mind that that's not the key target audience. Those of us who are super fit and confident are going to ride anyway. We're very welcome to ride on the major cycle routes, but the key target groups are really those of us who need a wee bit more protection, I guess, to feel safe and to give it a go. This is the key target market. It's the women on the upright bikes and in their pencil skirts. I'm not quite sure how practical that is. I ride in almost any outfit, but a pencil skirt would be a bit of a challenge. It's the people riding cargo bikes with their dogs in the front and with their children. All kinds of bikes that we're seeing now across the city. So the major cycle routes are very context dependent in terms of how they're designed. There's a mix of shared paths like you'll see through Hagley Park, where it's shared with pedestrians, and people on bikes just have to be a bit, take care of others using the path as well. A bike bell is very handy for those environments. There's neighbourhood greenways, and this is where there's little separation from traffic, but they are in, that's along streets with either low volumes or low speeds of traffic, so generally still very safe. Two-way separated cycleways, like outside Girls High, like the top end of Colombo Street, where both directions of people on bikes go on this are on the same side of the road or on the same path. It's a keep left situation. And then the separated cycleways, like you'll see down Chewham Street, where it's one cycleway each side, or sometimes down a one-way street like Chewham. Does anyone use them?
Yes.
So I still hear people say, I never see a cyclist, I never see any people on bikes around Christchurch, nobody's using them. And I kind of scratch my head and think, should you be driving? Because whether I'm driving or biking, I just see cyclists everywhere, and I'm seeing more and more people on bikes. yeah, I kind of feel like if you're not seeing all these thousands and thousands of people on bikes, then you're not a particularly safe driver. This is a really typical scene every morning on Quarryman's Trail at Brougham Street. There's 11 people on bikes waiting at that intersection. Like, that's a bike jam. And further along on Quarryman's on a different day, again, I think there's 8 people. I feel like I'm seeing a greater and greater diversity of people riding around Christchurch. And there was a recent survey done which surveyed, I think, 600 people on bikes on 3 of the different major cycle routes. And that was taken on a 3-hour period in the weekend and also on a morning, weekday morning, so capturing the people going to work. And there was, I think, 40% of the respondents were women, which is a really high percentage. I think generally women represent about 20% of cyclists in New Zealand. And also 36% of the people surveyed were over 50, so getting quite a good age range as well. And I always feel like the holy grail is getting a woman who hasn't biked for a long time back on the bike. Like, that's when I go, yes, like, that's a good victory. And this is one of the privileges of my job, is that I hear these stories all the time of people people saying, I've got back on the bike, I feel fitter than I have in years. I talked to a 52-year-old grandmother who works just across the road from council, who now can, you know, bike in the weekends with her grandchildren. So those are the stories that we keep, that I keep hearing, just talking to people in general everyday life as well, that are really encouraging. In the past year, there's been around about an 11% increase in people biking. Last census, I think 10,000 people bike to work, and I'm awaiting the new census data with anticipation, because I think it's going to have grown significantly. You might have seen the cycle counter that's been installed on Antigua, at the Antigua Boatshed Bridge. That was put in June, and as of a couple of days ago, 149,000 people on bikes had come over that, had crossed that bridge. If you go there at, say, 7 o'clock on a weekday night, you'll see about 1,200 cyclists have gone over back and forth. Yeah, there's a great little photo series of the bike counter in Auckland, where there's a photo where it's on, I don't know, say 600 people for the day, but there's not a single cyclist, and you kind of go, well, that's an empty cycle lane. And then the next photo is taken, you can see it on the little timestamp, it's taken 2 minutes later, and the number's gone up like 20 by 20 people or so. So it kind of shows a bit how misleading those perceptions can be when you just have a wee glance at a certain point in time. And generally across the CBD, we're seeing a lot of people, a lot of workplaces where 25% of the people of their employees are biking to work. DOC is the absolute standout on that. They have over 50% of their staff biking to work every day. So what about on a rainy day? Still looking pretty good. You can see the kind of high-vis rainy day gear spotted around the cycle lockup. And apparently in, I don't know which European country, they have a saying that there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. So if you're going to get on a bike, it's definitely worth investing in a few key pieces and definitely get some mudguards. We're also seeing a greater number of these kind of bikes. And as someone who rides a step-through upright bike with mudguards and chain guard and a basket, I just cannot say enough how much more enjoyable that is for getting around town than my mountain bike, just because you can bike in any clothes, you can bike in high heels, you can bike in dresses, and the weather doesn't matter so much in when you've got the mudguards. You can ride most bikes, you know, in a dress as well, but for practicality around town, I just personally, I don't think you can beat these step-throughs. We're also seeing a load more e-bikes sold across New Zealand, so they reckon 20,000 based on the official data last year. I don't know, we may even outstrip that this year, I suspect. And e-bikes are a real game changer in terms of overcoming the distance problem. So a lot of people are going 15Ks to work and 15Ks back without too much of a problem. We're seeing a lot of like a greater range of e-bikes, so you've got something like this long tail in the picture where you can get one or even two children on the back of the bike without really breaking a sweat. They flatten out hills, and we're seeing a lot of bikes where just around that long tail, for example, there, you can fit quite a few groceries in those, in the kind of bags that go out from the bike. As I said before, across New Zealand, women represent about 20% of people biking in the cities, like urban biking rather than, say, road cycling or mountain biking. Actually, in Christchurch, that's about 33% coming into the CBD of women, according to one person who actually sat there and counted across quite a few sites in the city. So Christchurch is, we have a better gender balance in terms of who is biking than elsewhere in New Zealand. And then for e-bikes, it's around 41% of e-bike users are women. And that is just making biking a lot more accessible because of A, the sweat factor, but also while we've come some way in gender equality in terms of child rearing, it's women that are more likely to be trip chaining, they're more likely to be dropping their wee ones off at preschool before going to the supermarket, before going to another appointment, before heading home or heading back to preschool to pick their kids up, all on a very tight time frame. And so e-bikes are just enabling more of those kind of full-on trips. I'm hearing quite a few stories, just chatting to people as well, of families that are considering getting rid of their second car. And so while e-bikes are quite expensive, especially if you want one that will last for a few years, if it enables you to get rid of your second car, you will be saving pretty big time in terms of petrol and maintenance and all that kind of thing. We're also seeing some of these tricycles. This is an overseas picture, which is why she's not wearing a helmet. But yeah, for people with balance issues or anything like that, we're seeing some of these around the city, which is pretty cool, just to make biking accessible for another group. This is my friend Tim with his little son Franklin. Again, a different kind of e-bike. He carries a heck of a lot on there. Yeah, and I think they're both having a great time. Tim actually runs a business in the central city, and he pays his employees $5 a day extra if they bike. And if they bike more than half the days in a year, he doubles that to $10. So, there's a load of research that shows that biking increases productivity, focus, well-being, physical health, mental health, all those kind of researchy things. So he's really gone, okay, cool, we're going to go with this research and we're going to make it a reality. And he has seen a big increase in people cycling to work. So good on Tim. Obviously, masses of infrastructure going on in Christchurch, greater range of bikes being seen and a bigger range of people getting on those bikes. But it's not just about the type of bikes and the type of infrastructure, it's also so much to do with the culture and the accessibility of biking to people. And so I just wanted to profile a few volunteer groups that are doing really good things across the city. Frocks on Bikes, first of all. Frocks optional, men also welcome. Men in frocks also welcome. Frocks exists in quite a few cities in New Zealand, and it's really about saying you don't need to have lycra or any special gear to get on a bike. Come with whatever bike in your normal clothes and let's just go for a ride. They organise often themed bike rides, like street art rides, profiling some of the awesome murals around Christchurch. They organise rides to weekend farmers markets or along the Little River rail trail, picking blueberries, all sorts of things, just depending on the season and what's going on around the city. These are my parents. I got them out on a ride, on the suffrage ride in the weekend, and Dad rode out on his new e-bike from Sumner and Mum pedalled on her push bike, so I was pretty stoked to get them along. Go Cycle Christchurch is run by Connie here, the excellent volunteer who's put in lots of hours helping a lot of different people get back on the bike and gain some skills and confidence to make that process a little less scary, a little more possible, and a lot more fun. Go Cycle runs free skill sessions to, like, on in non-road environments, on tennis courts, in school yards at the weekends, wherever can be found. And you've had everyone from, like, a refugee, a lady who's a refugee whose daughter started cycling and she decided she wanted to learn to ride a bike for the first time. So yeah, free cycle skill sessions. They're always on the Facebook page of Go Cycle Christchurch. And also group rides for adults, where it's just about practicing some of those skills, or you don't have to come to the skill sessions, you can just go for the ride on the quieter streets and the safer kind of routes, just to get experience and have a nice social time with other people as well. Rad Bikes are located in a beautiful wooden kind of shed workshop at the Commons on the corner of Kilmore Street and Durham Street. And that is a community volunteer-run bike workshop where you can fix your own bike. They will help you fix your own bike so you can pick up some awesome new skills. They've got a full fully stocked kind of tool workshop. It's open twice a week and you can actually, you can buy a frame and there's bikes and frames in various states of being stripped or in quite good condition, so you can kind of pick a frame and do that up, buy that for a very affordable price and ride away on it. Inner City East Cycles, these guys are based at the Tiny Shops in Lynwood. Has anyone heard of the Tiny Shops Village? It's pretty cool. Has anyone been there? Cool. Yeah, it's a great wee spot. So there's it's on a formerly vacant site where they've done beautiful landscaping and there's, I think, five tiny shops. So there's a greengrocer, there's going to be soon an op shop, a Fijian food caravan, and Ice Cycles. Ice Cycles is open on a Thursday. They get donated bikes and fix them up for people who need them to get around, basically. Yeah, so if anyone has a bike sitting in their garage that they are no longer using, Icicles can put it to really good use. All the bikes are done up by volunteers who are trained at the same time in doing up bikes. I believe Robin in the audience here. So just over 9 months ago, Robin couldn't fix a puncture in his bike, and now he can pretty much take a donated bike in most states and get it going safely on the road, eh?
Yeah, strip it down or rebuild it.
Strip it down, rebuild. In 9 months, I reckon that's a pretty good skills progression. Just some stats. Icicles in the last year has had racked up 2,300 volunteer numbers. That's more than a full-time year's work in any normal job. They've donated over 1,000 bikes, fixed them up and given them to people to use to get around their daily lives, and which is about 8 bikes a month. But as Jono says, it's not really about the numbers, it's about the smile on the dial. People also come back for the iCycle's regular workshops where they are taught to maintain and fix their bikes, keep them safe on the road, and keep building on the skills that they've learned. Action Bicycle Club, there's a load of awesome bike shops across the city, but these guys have a different focus. They're in the inner city. They focus on commuter cycling and all the kind of practical bits and bobs that go with getting around the city on your bike for transport rather than mountain biking or road cycling. They do have a full workshop that can fix any bike, but in terms of the bikes they sell, it's these kind of upright urban bikes. And Action Bicycle Club, the way they put it is they're a business for bikes rather than just a bike business. So they really go out of their way to encourage people onto their bikes, to encourage people to get onto their bikes again after a while off. So they run things like Go Buy Bike Breakfasts, where carbon-free commuters get a free muffin or coffee or donut. They've had some really good turnouts there, often working with Generation Zero, where these two girls, Francesca and Rosalie, are from as well. So Generation Zero does a lot of submission writing and like a bit of political pressure to keep improvements in infrastructure happening. As well as in public transport. Action Bikes this year and last year also organised a bike gang to the Nostalgia Festival back in February, and that was awesome fun. So that was just from their store in Walker Street down a kind of pre-planned route to Ferrymead, and I'm just trying to think what the numbers were. I was on that ride and there was a huge crew of us. I'd say at least 100 people in this massive bike gang, and that was really quite a good time. Spokes Canterbury, advocating for biking since way back is what I've put. Their tagline is, more people cycling every day is Spokes. I think more people cycling more often is Cycling Action Network. They do a great job constantly advocating for cycling, for people on bikes, making submissions to council, just spreading the word. And at the moment, also Biketober, we're almost in the middle of Biketober, the Festival for Cycling in Christchurch. That is a program that Spokes and a host of other volunteers across the city have put together. So there's everything from street art rides to bike spares and banter. There's several fix-up workshops to take your bike along and learn how to fix it. There's beginner rides, beginner mountain bike rides, road cycling rides, tours of the major cycle routes in a group just to make that a little bit less daunting. There's pedal to prayer, where churches and mosques and I guess centres to worship and all faiths can organise their own ride to worship on the Saturday or Sunday or whenever,
or Friday,
whatever day they choose to worship. Rides exploring Christchurch's street art and just loads more. The program is chock-a-block, so there's kind of something for everyone in there. Okay, and a spooky Halloween ride for the last day of the month. And Biketober includes the Biketober Passport, which is a really fun activity where you cycle mainly along the major cycle routes or kind of near them to 40 destinations to get your passport stamped off. Is a bit of a fun activity, a challenge if you want to get all 40 of them, a great school holiday activity with the kids. And there's some kind of discounts and freebies and deals in there as well. And which is also part of showing that people on bikes do spend money, they do visit businesses, they particularly visit local businesses without the need to provide a whole lot of car parking. So getting the word out there that cyclists are looking to drop some dough around the neighbourhood, really. Research shows that generally cyclists have more money to spend locally, and I think that's partly because they're just spending less on transport, which is a hard message to sell because the perceptions are very different. So, and also, if you have a passport, you get half price entry to the Bike Expo, and the Bike Expo is the big expo event of Biketober. So all sorts of bikes you can test ride along the old runways at the Wigram Air Base. Stalls on the latest gear if you're kind of a cycling pro. Cycle tour information. The council will be there with maps and guides and things. Spokes will be there talking to people. It's a really fun event. It was hugely popular last year. I was there, happened to bump into my dad, and I jokingly said, "Hey Dad, I'm going to go test an e-cargo bike. Do you want to hop in the front?" And he did. And I wasn't expecting that, so that was great fun. Like me kind of hooning down this old runway with my 65-year-old dad in the front was good times. So definitely recommend heading onto that. That's pretty much all I had to say. As I said, I think speaking for myself and most other cyclists, we love to see more people getting into biking.
That was cyclist Anne Hines speaking at the Canterbury Workers Education Association. For more information about the Biketober Festival events, go to their website, biketober.nz.